Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk, and maybe after all that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way, thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all your reoccurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something's coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting your time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple app or Google Play stores. Okay, it's kind of embarrassing how bad I am at budgeting.
Let me see your charges.
Fine.
You spent over $600 on takeout last month.
I can't cook. You know this.
Yes, I have had your disgusting food, but you're literally paying for a meal subscription on top of that.
Whoa, wait. That can't be right.
Look, just get Rocket Money. It shows you all of your expenses in one place and even tracks your subscriptions. And if there's a subscription you don't want, which for you, there are a lot you don't need, you can just cancel right in the app with a few taps.
So you mean I don't have to call anyone to cancel?
Nope. No hold times or anything. And they'll even try to get you a refund on some of the months of wasted money, which is a lot of money for you.
Okay.
And if you thought I was done, I'm not. The app can also help you make a budget that works for your income. Anytime you get close to your spending limits, it alerts you, so you know exactly where your money is going at all times.
All right, I'm in. What do I have to do?
Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel or download the app from the Apple or Google Play stores.
Hello. You don't normally like how I start our intros, which is that I ask how you're doing. So do you want
to... I don't trust the question, you know? Like, what do you mean? What are you trying to get at? What's your game? You know?
Well, if I told you that, I wouldn't be really good at my game, would I?
Well, look at this begging-ass dog.
She's... Yeah. That's a new development.
This never stops, huh? Walking around.
She never sleeps.
Oh, wait. You might want to put the... Hey.
Oh.
Get out of there. Fucking... She could never commit a crime and not get caught.
You're right. She would not be a good criminal. She would just be wagging her little tail off.
Yeah, you're going to have to put the garbage thing back on.
She might not go to the garbage. Let's just try to record an intro. I'm going to have to get up to get the cookies out.
Go ahead,
out
we are. This is the intro. It's a great intro.
Well, how's your day today, sweetie?
Oh, my God. Why do you always start it like that? You were here the whole time. You know how my day was. It was fucking great. Okay? Every day I wake up and I win.
Wow. What's your secret?
Just taking it easy.
Yeah.
You know? Just letting life wash over you.
Right. Wow.
What about you, sweetie? How was your day?
I think it was pretty good. I had a bunch of stuff I was supposed to do, and it was causing me anxiety until I decided not to do any of it.
Yeah.
And then I went to the beach.
That's a great day.
Yeah.
And a great decision.
Yeah. I mean, it'll keep. The biggest, sort of Damocles hanging over my head at the moment.
They said sword of Damocles.
I did say...
You said sword of
Damocles. Sword. You thought I said sword of?
Yeah, sword of a sort of Damocles hanging over my head.
The biggest sword of Damocles hanging over my head is that...
Is how cute you are?
Well, yeah.
Is that it?
That wasn't the one that's one of the many sort of swords.
Because it's a horrible... That's a problem for you.
Yeah. Big time. No, I did a little fundraiser. I did a stupid little fundraiser where I said that I would make a dog video where I play a personalized song on our dog for anyone who donated $30 or more to the Okra Project.
That's right.
And I also said for $100 that you would be in the video at minimum waving. And now...
What you didn't realize is that it's actually at maximum.
And that's not true, sweetie. You've already done more than wave in two videos. Not to... but they were even bigger spenders. They spent more than $100, so...
Ooh, those cookies are smelling really good right about now.
Anyway, so I have like... I've done 8 of those videos, and I think I have 8 more to do. And I've already done all the ones for people I know, which makes it easier because... it's easier to sing a personalized song about someone that you know personally. And now I have to do 8 songs for strangers where all I know is their email address for some of them.
Sometimes that's enough.
You know what? It's going to have to be, frankly.
It was a success. Your fundraising was a success, and now you've got to razzle-dazzle them.
And I will. What else is new? We've been at the beach for a little bit, and I've been walking this dog a lot, and I've been meeting a lot of fucking dogs, which I wasn't before. A lot of dog owners.
Mm-hmm.
And, the people out here are kind of weird.
Are dog people.
It's not that they're dog people, it's that they're beach people. It's that they're, like, rich people.
Rich? Not everyone's rich.
Well, maybe they're just weird and or unfriendly. Weird.
Yeah, maybe that too.
All right, I'm going to get the cookies. You can keep talking.
Would you mind... would you mind pouring me a little almond milk for the cookies? I'd just like to say that I think I'm just glad that almond milk was invented. Hmm. You know?
Yeah.
Oh, thanks. It just seems like... It seems... And of course, it's got its ecological issues, but...
Yeah, it
just,
does.
It just seems better somehow than, you know, guzzling down the tepid fluid that's been squeezed out of, like, a trapped animal.
Tepid?
Yeah. Warm, tepid. At least that's how it comes out. And, you know, it's just disgusting when you think about it. It really is.
Yeah.
What other fucking creature does that? Do other creatures do that?
Well, I don't think they drink other animals'
milks. Right.
No. But other creatures don't, like, keep other creatures as pets.
Or wear hats.
Shirts. Yeah. So.
You know?
That's something to think about, too.
Yeah.
Probably.
They suck. Humans fucking suck.
You know, I think that's actually a great segue into the movie that we're going to watch.
Is it?
It sort of.
Because the next thing I was going to say was, I would like to experience being a chipmunk.
Yeah, you'll probably come back as a chipmunk in your next life.
Think so?
I mean, I don't really think so.
I wouldn't mind. I mean, it probably would lead to it. I'd probably get swallowed whole by something. Like a snake.
You might get eaten by our dog.
But,
if she outlives you.
I wouldn't mind being a chipmunk with a little chipmunk family. In a little tree. And then you go out and you get... Just find, like, the little... Whatever.
Chipmunks are pests.
They're not pests.
They're really cute pests.
They're magical little creatures that are cute as fuck.
They are cute.
Again, only humans would label another species of creature a pest. I mean, of course, I would say that mosquitoes are menaces.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I guess nobody cares about mosquitoes, right? Like, if mosquitoes were just wiped off the earth, I'm sure it would do some damage, but...
God would care.
God hasn't cared for a long time about mosquitoes. He just made them and left.
That's what you think. So mosquitoes spread disease, and you know what? They laugh about it. They enjoy it.
They do laugh about it.
Okay, well, anyway, I was saying that this is sort of a good segue. It's not, I mean, it's not a great segue, but we're watching today. This is my pick, and it is a movie that you've seen once when it came out in 2005 or 6.
Right.
2005 or 6.
I remember the gist of it, but not the movie, really.
I used to affectionately refer to it as Bitches in a Cave.
Huh.
Yeah. But you know, there's little animals down there.
That I do remember.
Oh, she's, oh,
Just give
she's
it
like,
up.
She's Stop. Like warming up to yeah, almost
she's
barking.
Warming up to a bark. Which is sad because she's sitting in a chair. It's just
a little
it's
armchair
just empty.
Barker.
It's empty barking.
I mean, she's barked at a couple people in the dark when I've walked her at night, which makes me feel safe.
Barking in the dark. Barking in the dark with my dog. The dog will protect me from barking in the dark at the shadows. Sorry, it's just a little
ditty you've been working on?
Working on. It's not a big deal.
It's not a big deal.
Oh.
Okay, but you're yawning, so let's get
I
this movie.
I am yawning, but this doesn't mean I don't love you.
Let's just get this movie
Wait,
queued up.
Can we just get these cookies queued up?
Well, they're resting. Can you turn the TV on, please?
It's this button. This little green button.
Oh, yeah, that's why it hasn't been working. I've been hitting the wrong button. Yeah. Why would the bigger button not be the one that turns it on?
Oh, it's a weird, it's like an old school 80s or 90s remote. 90s was a dark period of time for TV remotes.
I know. There
little,
used to be a lot of them.
More complicated, smaller.
All right, we can pause for cookies.
What's it called?
The Descent.
Aha, The Descent.
Okay. And end of intro. Now, please enjoy listening to us watch The Descent. Spoilers ahead. All right. Without further ado, The Motherfucking Descent.
It's The Motherfucking Descent, y'all.
Been a while since I've seen this.
What year is this?
I think 2005.
Really?
Yeah. The movie opens with a group of women whitewater rafting, while one of the women, Sarah's, husband and daughter stand by watching from the shore. Just a bunch of fun, adventure-loving gals.
Yep.
Out on a whitewater rafting excursion.
I feel like something good's going to happen. It's my instinct right here.
Yeah.
Probably to the girl. Probably to the little girl. Something good.
Ugh, isn't friendship great? They're so empowered, but also playful and feminine. Huh. It's weird that her husband is helping another woman with her helmet.
That is weird. Oh. Interesting. Subtext.
Next, we see Sarah driving home with her daughter and husband, the latter of whom seems distracted. I feel like something's on his mind. Something else is about to be on his mind, if you know what I mean.
Are you okay? You seem a bit distant.
I'm fine.
And then he crashes head-on into another car, and along with the daughter, is impaled and killed by the poles that fly off of the roof of the other car and through the windshield.
Huh.
Get it? Something else on his mind?
Wait, is it the kid too?
Yep.
What were those poles? Who was driving with just unfastened...
They weren't unfastened. He hit him head on.
But what were the poles?
Hold on. Do you get my joke?
Yes,
something on
his
mind.
Yes, I get
yeah,
it.
It was a pole through his brain. Next, we see Sarah dreaming about her daughter blowing out birthday candles before waking up in the hospital, after which she promptly runs into the hallway and has a meltdown when she realizes that her husband and daughter have both died. Love all the doctors that just kind of like stroll by in this scene. There's a woman on the floor having a meltdown.
It's the meltdown ward. Put her in the meltdown ward. I think she's a hot one.
Cut to 1 year later. The gang is back together again, meeting up in the woods somewhere in America for another adventure. We've got the OG3 from the rafting trip, Sarah, whose family was killed, Juno, the super intense and sinister one, and Beth, who seems nice. Plus, we now have Sam and Rebecca, who are sisters, and Juno's protege, the annoying thrill seeker, Holly.
How long is this later?
1 year later.
Oh.
Everything's gonna be fine. Better. It's gonna be great.
Everything's gonna be better than when you had a living husband and child.
Yep. Everything's gonna be totally fine, and even better than fine. This is going to go great.
While the girls settle in and reconnect, Sarah tells the group to love each day, a generic expression that her dead husband used to say all the time, apparently. He was known for saying it. And that will come up later.
Like every scene, she just like pauses to make a weird face.
Yep. It's called acting. This is just like me and my girlfriends when we get together. We just can't stop talking about caving and laughing at pajamas, you know? Talking about our dead husbands.
When I'm older, I want lots of babies.
She's like, oh.
Oh, babies. I had one of those. Got a pole through its neck. It's like the fifth eagle I've heard.
That night, Sarah has a dream that she hears an eagle, then gets up to go to the window, and...
I forgot about that. Oh my god.
Woo. A pole flies through the window, right into her face. In the dream.
That was great. That was great. That made me jump.
Yeah. It's good. It's a good jump scare.
That was some good jumping. Are there any more cookies?
No.
Are you serious?
I'm serious.
What the fuck?
The next morning, the women wake up early after being aroused by Juno and prepare for their spelunking adventure. But before they leave the house, they all get together on the porch to snap a picture.
Yes.
Big mistake. Never take the group picture before an adventure.
That's true.
That's a very Shining-esque shot.
Yeah.
Like 100%.
Sure, but it's also just an overhead shot.
Oh, but that's an homage. That's an homage, though. Through the forest with the burn. So it is.
Sure, you're right.
Kubrick is that, like that important.
Of course, I know.
And I need you to just have a little respect.
You haven't even seen Eyes Wide Shut. It's a ridiculous movie. That hat doesn't feel practical for climbing.
What's the deal with this chick? Is she just sinister?
You'll find out. She definitely is kind of sinister. Well, you'll see. She's just not an evolved person, and she never will be. Because she's gonna die.
Oh well, thanks for the spoiler.
Eventually, we all die.
Eventually, we all die in a cave.
I like how she just paused, like in the shot, just kind of like.
She always pauses to be like, like make a little, you know, just like a little uninterpretable face.
She's an enigma wrapped in a mystery.
You love that phrase. You just learned that phrase?
I didn't just learn that phrase. It's just a funny phrase. Just like me. Not sure what they're zooming in on here. Okay. Oh.
As the gals approach the spot where they will be descending into the cave, they come upon a large dead moose that appears to have been attacked and bitten by something.
What do you think did that, Sam? A bear? What is this? Nature detectives? Could have been Bigfoot for all you know. Come on.
What is this? Nature detectives?
Yeah, what the hell is this?
You're concerned that a giant animal was mysteriously killed and eaten by something? Why don't you just go call the nature cops, okay? They can just take you to nature jail. Hey,
what if this
was America?
What is this, fucking nature cops over here?
The girls finally arrive at the cave entrance, a massive hole in the middle of the forest, which they lower themselves into.
You're having a laugh.
You won't believe this,
if nothing else, she is just annoying as fuck.
How are they supposed to get out?
Climb up the ropes? God, I'm just like bracing myself for all the claustrophobic shots that are coming. Oh, maybe that's not how they get out.
What's up with her? She looks like she's seen a ghost or something. Fine.
She's fine. Probably just the ghost of her dead husband and child.
She probably just saw a ghost.
Oh my god. It's so claustrophobic. Well,
why would you even do this?
Because they're thrill seekers. But also, there's something else. pretty great shots, I think.
Totally.
I really love how it's shot.
Now that the girls are in the cave, they have to find a tunnel in each cavern, which will bring them to another cavern and eventually lead them back out of the cave. Or so they think. The tunnels they have to go through are narrow, and in this particular tunnel, Sarah starts to hyperventilate.
It's a real horror combination platter for her. Sweetie, what would be the point for you in this, Sarah? When you would be like, I wish I hadn't come?
You stood behind me! Listen, the worst thing that could have happened to you has already happened. Okay, you're still here.
Then there is a rumbling, and Sarah and Beth scramble to get out of the tunnel right before it collapses behind them, trapping them all in the cave.
So, sweetie, what's the point at which you would have been like, I want to turn back?
The second anyone asked me to get into that little ass hole.
That's it?
Yep.
I would have wanted to turn back when I just looked into the cave. I would have been like,
After the tunnel caves in, it is revealed that Juno lied to everyone, and the girls are not in the cave that they thought they were in. Meaning, they are in a previously unexplored cave, so they think, and no one in the outside world knows they're there.
This movie really has it all. Tragedy. Sudden death.
Damn.
Caves. Heights. Claustrophobia. Monsters. Girl fights.
She saw someone. She saw something there.
She saw, oh, that thing. There's like a little metal piece in there.
So there's already one there.
Right, which means that someone else has been in the cave before. Yep. Like, yep. Another human has been in the cave.
Yep. I feel like everyone's definitely going to get across perfectly.
Okay.
This movie is about teamwork. And uplifting your sisters.
Are they lovers?
No, that's her sister.
Oh.
Are they lovers?
Are they lovers? Did they take a lover?
As the girls press on, they come across a piece of old climbing gear, and it is pointed out that the discovery does not mean that they have a better chance of making it out of the cave, because if someone had previously explored it and made it out alive, then they would have named it already.
So just an FYI, it doesn't mean that we're going to live. Oh,
excuse me. Yeah, there's something down here.
The girls come across a cave drawing in the dark, and despite Juno's insistence that they don't have time to look at it, they light a flare which illuminates a drawing of the mountain and the cave, revealing that there are actually two entrances into the cave system, which gives them hope.
So you think we should actually try and get out then? Well, according to this cave painting, we should probably try and get out.
Oh, do you see that?
Yeah.
Just casually a mouth dripping with blood.
Or something.
In the foreground. Yeah. You're right, it might not be blood.
I think it's just sort of slime.
No, you're right, I think it is slime.
I kind of knew she was going to be the first to go.
Because she's the most... kind of reckless.
Like, yeah, extreme sports.
Yeah.
Acting recklessly, Holly, the thrill seeker, runs ahead through a tunnel thinking she sees daylight and then falls down a hole and breaks her leg really badly.
The extreme sports.
That'll teach women to fucking try to do anything.
You know?
I think I hurt my leg!
See that bone?
Oh, yeah.
Ugh! Sorry. That's where hubris will get you, sweetie. You'd do well to remember that.
We need help. Everybody grab a corner. We need to move her out of the water.
I don't know. I think the water's good for her.
I love how she's just like always. Like, hey, I'm not going to mention that. I just heard like a giggling baby.
Probably not a good time. I love that they keep hinting at the creatures and, like, see it in the foreground and shit.
Yeah, those look like bones.
No, probably just some twigs down there. Probably just some cave twigs.
Huh. Dead animals. Hundreds of them. This is not good, guys.
Oh my god.
Here's the first time the girls see one of the crawlers.
I forgot.
Jesus.
I'm sorry. Hades just ran over to me. It's okay, sweetie. Oh my god, I forgot.
And here is where a crawler claims its first victim, the most vulnerable among them due to her injury, Holly.
Ooh. Oh, I knew she was dead. Oh, God. Ooh.
In the scrum, Sam and Rebecca run off while Juno tries to fight off two crawlers and then accidentally kills Beth with her pointy ice climbing tool.
Yeah.
Yeah, bad news about whatever her name is.
You know, when you're trapped in a cave with monsters, you end up doing some crazy shit. Okay, it was the early 2000s, you know, it was a different time. I have to say this, I think this movie is lit really well. It's a little dark, but...
I think it's fucking lit. If I remember correctly, doesn't, like, the main character, like, still have yet to emerge?
No. You do not remember correctly.
Just in terms of, like, one of these women, like, is, like, the last one, but, you know, it's not the one you expect it to be?
No, I think it is the one you expect it to be.
Oh, okay.
What if just a new woman emerged from the cave and she was like, hey guys, I've been down here. I'm the main character now. Okay, so we're seeing a lot of bones here. Oh! Oh, who's that?
That's the other chick, dead now.
Oh, right. Ugh. Oh, so intense. Just fucking watching monsters feast on your friend's dead body.
It's the first time is always the worst.
It gets easier.
Yeah. After a while, it's just, it doesn't even affect you anymore.
Mmm. Did you figure something out there about the monsters?
They're human.
No.
They're blind?
Yeah.
Well, that seemed obvious.
Well, it wasn't obvious to these nice young women that are trapped in the cave.
Well, they've got a lot going on.
Did you know that Andy Serkis played every single one of these monsters?
What was the question?
I said, did you know that Andy Serkis played every single one of these monsters? Oh! Your stupid watch!
Who's Andy Serkis?
He played Gollum.
He didn't really do these monsters.
No, I'm just kidding. Oh.
This is just a lot of golems, isn't it?
Sorta. Except that Gollum could talk. And he's actually a pretty cool guy once you got to know him. Okay, girl. You make that torch. I
feel like this chick is primed for a jump scare.
I wish I could remember where the jump scares were. Oh, God. I'm scared. There it is.
Yeah. Welcome to Jump Scare Alley.
This movie is a metaphor for society trying to crush the spirits of strong women and ultimately winning. Every shot that she's in, it's like a pose. It's like, this could be a still for the movie.
She's been pretty much posing the whole time. But, you know, look on the bright side, you're definitely going to get to name the cave.
So to briefly recap, Sarah is currently alone in the cave. After waking up to see the crawlers feasting on Holly, she uses the night vision camera to watch them, and she figures out that they are blind. Meanwhile, the sisters also figure out that the crawlers are blind, and Juno is also alone. But then she comes up on Sam and Rebecca fighting a crawler, and she kills it, saving them. Then the three of them discuss getting out of the cave, and Juno says she's not leaving without Sarah.
Whatever they are, they go to the surface to hunt, and they bring their food back down here to eat through an entrance.
And they bring their food back down here to eat.
Here is where Sarah comes up on Beth, who it turns out did not die when Juno stuck a thing in her neck.
Oh, shit.
Beth tells Sarah that Juno did this to her and tells Sarah not to trust her. Then she shows Sarah the bracelet she took from Juno that has the same dumb expression on it that Sarah's husband used to say, which confirms to Sarah that Juno was cheating with her husband before he died.
Not really sure how she's still alive, but... Oh!
Before she leaves, Beth asks Sarah to put her out of her misery, and Sarah obliges her.
It's like the time I killed the rat.
Jamie here is referring to a time when I was out of town and he caught a mouse in a glue trap and couldn't figure out how to kill it. I told him to bash it with a pan, but he thought it would be more humane to quickly decapitate it with a kitchen knife, which he did, and we still use the knife.
Ooh. It's like, dude, just give her a minute. Oh yeah, Sarah's on one now. She's fucking in it. Oh, yeah. I love this.
Just a pool of blood?
Yeah.
You just keep a pool of blood?
Yeah.
Oh, fair enough.
Yeah, this is awesome. Isn't that an awesome shot?
It's very Apocalypse Now. Have you seen Apocalypse Now?
I have seen it.
You have?
Yes.
So you know what I'm talking about?
Yes. Oh, whoa! Sorry. Oh, yeah, it is a girl one. This is a metaphor for society pitting women against each other, if you think about it. You know?
Yeah, kind of, yeah.
Sarah, is that you Sarah. Making that clicking noise?
No, that's not Sarah.
I mean, logic dictates that one of these women would commit suicide, right? At
commit
least.
Commit suicide?
Yeah, if you're in this situation and there's monsters chasing after you and you're hopelessly stuck in a cave.
Right after I made this comment, we see the death of the character Sam, which happens when she is dangling helplessly from the ceiling of a cave and is attacked by a crawler. In this situation, I might just cut the rope and kill myself, but in Sam's case, it's good she didn't because right after the crawler slashes her throat, she manages to stab and kill him before dying herself. And then immediately after, her sister Rebecca is grabbed and eaten, leaving Juno alone once more.
Feels a little lazy that the older sister is immediately killed after her younger sister by just being, like, pulled and then...
Hey, that's how it happens. That's how it happened in The Matrix, remember?
No.
Tank and his older brother Dozer.
Yeah, well, that's different. They were shot. I'm just saying it feels lazy that everybody has a different way of dying and then all of a sudden it's like... I don't know.
Maybe. Everybody has a different way of dying. Some go through knives and others get eaten. Dying is fun because it's so unique. When you die, you have to...
In this
to...
movie. Everybody, except for that one chick.
Everybody dies in a little different way.
Finally, Juno runs into Sarah, who does not seem very chill. But they forge ahead.
See, they're working together as friends.
Working together as friends in a tunnel. Probably going to kill each other, but sooner, for now you'll work together.
Oop. Oh, damn, that was sexy. You see the way that guy emerged? Hold on a second. I just want to pause on that. Look at that, dude.
Like a sexy Nosferatu.
Yeah, this one looks like he's got like eye makeup on. And the way that he... Hold on. Just gonna put it back a tiny bit. Fuck, I wish I could put this on slow-mo. Sorry.
Hey. What's up, guys?
Those guys are hanging out.
Multiple golems.
Where's the sexy dude?
He's the sexiest of the pack.
This one.
Sup, yo.
This dude.
All right.
Sorry, like,
this dude now,
I just
like
feel like
times.
He's a dancer. He's like a dancer who is cast as one of these guys, and he's like, this is my moment to shine. I know how to move.
He's like, prowl.
Yeah.
In an interview with Screen Anarchy, director Neil Marshall talks about intentionally using very physical and theatrical actors to play the crawlers, which would account for the very sultry way the crawler walks out in this scene.
Is she kicking them in the monster dicks? Ooh. Oh. Damn.
This is raw.
So much blood spraying.
After Sarah and Juno fight and kill a shit ton of crawlers, Sarah faces Juno and reveals the tacky-ass bracelet her husband had given Juno, a feather charm that says, "Love each day" on it. Honestly, don't know what either of these women saw in this man.
So do you understand what that necklace means?
Yes, yes.
Means Juno was hooking up with her husband before he died.
I know.
So you probably didn't see that twist coming.
You know how it goes.
I like how Sarah went from being like, ooh. Ooh.
That was the sound of Sarah stabbing Juno in the leg with her pointy ice climbing tool.
Kind of like timid and like whatever. And now she's just hyper focused and like badass. Mm-hmm. And also murderous. And also she fucking stabbed her former friend in the leg and is going to leave her to die.
It was kind of whack, though, that she killed the chick just because she had sex with her husband.
Well, not only did she have sex with her husband...
But what?
But she also, like, accidentally murdered their friend and then left her and also brought them all into this cave under false pretenses, putting them all in danger, getting them all killed.
Yeah, she wasn't great. I just wish the ladies would have stuck together.
Now we see Sarah climbing up a steep incline that is covered in bones towards the sunlight.
Yep, but wait for it.
Right, I forget, there's some weird ending, right, that doesn't make any sense?
It does make sense.
I've been farting a lot, I'm going to be real with you.
Hmm?
I've been farting a lot.
So I believe this is where they ended it in the American version. Oh. That's how it ended? Okay, so this is the American one because the actual, like the British movie ends with her still in the cave.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. That's the ending I saw before. Okay, and I was so just like, that doesn't make any sense
at all. It doesn't make any sense because the actual movie ends with that, with her seeing Juno in her car, mm-hmm. and then, you know, it cuts to her actually still being back in the cave with a little flame going.
Actually, it's a birthday cake.
And she's sitting across from her daughter. You know, she's imagining that mm-hmm. she's seeing her daughter. And then the light goes out and you can hear the sounds of the cave people because she actually never makes it out. It's a false ending.
Mm.
The reason they ended it this way in the American one...
Because it didn't test well. Because Americans can't deal with the hero not winning.
Right.
Or at least sort of.
Right, because American audiences thought it was like too depressing that she actually doesn't make it out of the cave. But I think, just like in The Ring, I actually really love the false happy ending, because...
I think they call it a offending.
Maybe you're combining too many words when you say that, and you're embarrassing yourself.
No, that's so fine.
Yeah, it's a horror movie. Like, everything bad happens. Why does it need to have a happy ending? It doesn't, you know? It's just a tragic movie from beginning to end. But it's so good, right?
She definitely went full Uma Thurman in Kill Bill.
Yeah.
At a certain point.
It's good, right?
Mm.
It's interesting. There's a lot of layers to it. It's shot really well. It's, it's great. So any final thoughts?
I don't like the ending.
The American ending.
The one that we just watched.
Yeah. No, it's not good. It's not good. Here, I want to get my computer so I can show you the actual ending.
Here is where I show Jamie the actual ending.
Way better.
Yeah. Totally. You're right. It does not make sense. But do you have any final thoughts and we can end this this here podcast?
Nah, good movie. I like it. I always like seeing...
Female friendship.
Yeah.
Portrayed accurately on screen.
I don't know about accurately.
I'm just kidding.
I like to see, movies starring females. Then, like, them being, like, gritty and, like, having dynamics with each other and, it, you know.
Yeah, see? Hollywood, it's not that hard to have more than one female character that has her own backstory and personality.
They did. There wasn't that much personality.
I know. Well, I mean,
there was a little bit, but a couple of the characters were just very much not.
Were pretty bland.
Yeah, not really there.
I mean, yeah. You know, we don't really get to know them that well, but
also I don't love the way that they sort of like. I don't know.
What?
Like, you know, when she killed her friend by accident.
Uh-huh.
It was an accident.
It was an accident, but then she also left her there.
But she was dead.
She wasn't dead.
Looked fucking dead to me.
No, that's the same woman
that attacked.
That's the same woman that talked to her later.
Yeah, I know, but like at the time.
That talked to Sarah later.
Originally, she looked dead. She had a fucking thing through her neck. And she dropped.
I guess
so. She looked like she died first time.
I guess.
That's all I'm saying. The other thing is, like, for homegirl to decide that she was just going to, like, fucking take her out with a pick to the knee just because she found out that she fucked her husband.
Well, it's not just that. I already said. It's all of the other reasons.
How
all the
know?
Other.
I'm just saying, she looked at the thing.
I mean, I'm sure that that was obviously part of it.
I know. You just hate to see it. You just hate to see a friendship like that fall.
But I mean, it's
fall apart like that. You know, all of a sudden your friend's, you know, taking a fucking a pick to your leg, and leaving you for a bunch of savage.
I know.
Blind.
It's like she didn't even know that she said no. We're not leaving without Sarah.
Right.
It's like
that's
she
what
was
I'm
ignoring
saying.
The fact that she was willing to name it. They were going to name that cave Sarah.
I know, dude.
After her. I'm going to call this cave Sarah.
I was touched. but the thing is like, yeah, you know, if they had made the choice for them to reconcile, that would have been cooler to me. Because
there was
that tension the whole time.
Yeah.
And she was trying to look out for her, like, we're not leaving without her, you know?
I mean, she said that, but she also was full of shit because...
She wasn't full of shit. She was the strongest person there. She kept saving everybody's asses. She kept, like, yes, she got them into the fucking problem.
Yeah, she didn't even bring the book and she lied to them. Like, you know, there's a part where she's saying, they call in a flight plan, which means that when you go do a dangerous activity like that, the National Guard or whoever it is, somebody knows that you're down there.
The National Committee of Emergency Cave Preparation.
You know, so that they'll go after you.
Yo, look, I get it. I do.
Also, when Sarah...
I'm not saying she didn't make some mistakes.
and you know what? Who among us
hasn't, you know, sort of purposely led our friends into an incredibly dangerous, uncharted death cave?
That's a good point.
You know.
All right. Well...
Oh, I'm glad we watched that.
Yeah.
I'm going to fuck the bed. Peace out.
All right. Yeah. Thanks for listening. Oh, and I also wanted to say... Thanks to Hangover Candles, the official sponsor of this episode. Even though I'm not burning one of their candles right now, they sent us some really nice candles. I have one right next to my bed.
So they're the official sponsor?
Of this episode. I just wanted to give them a shout out.
Respect. We did like the candle.
Yeah, the two candles.
Yeah, that's what I said, the candles.
Yeah, and I have to say, and I swear... I swear this is true. I don't like a lot of scented candles, okay? Like Yankee Candle can fucking kick rocks.
The only candle I like is the Gwyneth Paltrow vagina candle.
But these are really nice smelling candles, and there's a lot of them, you know? So you're getting your money's worth. We got the candles for free, but I assume that whatever you pay, you're going to get that amount and more.
$7,000.
Anyway, so thanks to them, and that's it. I just wanted to mention them.
No, shout out to them. And also, I'd like to give a shout out to dog food, because every day we feed you to our dog, and so they are also sponsoring this.
Okay.
Dog food.
Alrighty. All right. Goodbye.
Peace.
The Panducto Quarantcast is created by Jamie Moline and me, Emily Panic. Editing and production is by me. If you like the podcast, please rate, review, and subscribe. And thanks for listening. Okay, see you next time.